Are you ready for the word? It's important, the kind of heart that we have when we hear the word, that our hearts are open and receptive, ready to receive and ready to obey. And so that's why we pray. It is so that the Lord will help us to be soil that is receptive and open and receive the word of God and be fruitful in our lives. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it speaks into our lives. Lord, that it is just what we need. Lord, I thank you that your word brings truth that sets free. And I pray this morning as we hear the truth of your word, Lord, that your people would just be freed in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you for your blessing upon this time. And all glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series called Home on the Rock. It is about having the blessings of God on our homes and our families so that they will stand through the storms of life. Storms come to all of us. But if we've built our lives on the rock, then they're going to stand. We're going to come out the other side victorious. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And what is that rock? It's those who do what Jesus taught. It's those who live according to the word of God. Now, I want to encourage you parents this morning. To a great degree, you are building your child's life either on the rock or on the sand. I know that at some point in their life, they make their own decisions and their life is going to stand or fall by their own choices. But to a great degree, you set the tone for their life. You are building their life. It's not just yours. You're building their life either on the rock or on the sand. So I encourage you to get a hold of the principles of Scripture and with all your heart, obey the principles. Obey the Word of God. Do what it says, and you'll be building not only your home, but your child's life on the Word of God. This morning, the message is just simply Raising Godly Children, Part 2. Every believer wants their child to grow up and enjoy the blessings of God. Every believer, we want things to go well for our children. We want the blessings of God on their life. This morning, I just want to take just a minute and do a real quick review of last week. We talked about raising godly children by faith, that we're not trying to do this alone. We can't do it on our own. We need God's help. But thank God he does help us. And prayer is very powerful. And we are doing this by faith with God's help. We also raise godly children by example. We should be, as parents, we should be the greatest influence in their life to know the Lord, to be a Christian, and to serve God. They should see in our life daily what it means to serve the Lord. They should see that it's important to us to go to church every week. They should see that we want to be involved in ministry and the work of the kingdom, that it's important. They should even see that giving is important. I'm telling you, we need to be that example to our children. If we want them to grow up and enjoy the blessings of God, then we have to train them by being the right kind of example. We raise godly children by protecting them from the influence of an ungodly world. See, this world is so full of ungodly things and immorality, and it is up to the parents to help them establish values, to establish a sense of what's right and wrong and standards in their life. You've got to help protect them from the ungodly influence of this world. And we raise godly children by teaching them. It is ultimately the parents' responsibility to teach their children the Bible, to teach them about having a personal relationship with Jesus, to teach them what it is to serve the Lord and to teach them the difference between right and wrong. And I said this last week, but certainly the church can come alongside and help, but ultimately it is up to the parent to teach their child about the things of God. This morning, we're just going to talk about one more principle, but it is one of the most important principles of raising godly children. We raise godly children by training them through loving, consistent discipline. Well, it's quiet in here. Fun subject. No, it's a controversial subject. It's one that people don't really even like to talk about. In our society today, discipline is so controversial that some, you know, they equate any kind of corporal punishment with child abuse. And I just want to say very clearly that as believers, we certainly stand against any kind of child abuse. But today, a lot of parents are just confused about how to discipline their children. And beyond that, a lot of parents are scared. They're afraid to discipline their children. So I'm telling you, we need to build our homes on what the Scripture says, not on the ideas of the day. What the world says doesn't work. It is building on sand, and it comes down with a great crash. And when you see the trouble that's going on in our culture, in our society, with children and young people, and it goes on into adulthood, so much of it has to do with this present generation and the way that they try to raise children. So let's look to the Scriptures. You see, that's where our confidence comes from. How can we get rid of the confusion? How can we know what's right? And how can we have confidence that we're doing the right thing? Because we live our lives, we conduct ourselves, and we parent the way the Scripture tells us to. By the way, those of you who are young people, young adults, maybe you don't have children yet, you need to hear this message because you need to lay a foundation in your own heart of what's right and what's wrong before you have children. And those of you who don't have children, but you have friends or brothers or sisters, whatever, that have kids, you need to hear this message too. And grandparents, well, you especially need to hear this message. You know, it's amazing how that grandparents, a lot of times, they like to talk about how the good old days. Remember back when? Yeah, I remember back when grandparents helped discipline the children instead of trying to be Santa Claus every day and letting them get away with everything. What's up with that? But I'm saying that all of us need to hear this message, not so you can judge the parents who aren't doing it right. No, so you can support the parents. The worst thing you can do is to shame a parent or cast doubt on a parent when they're doing the best they can. And if you are an aunt, an uncle, a brother, sister, whatever, a grandparent, you need to support those parents as they try to discipline their children. And my mother was a strong believer in corporal punishment. Believe me, she practiced it every day. Until I had children, and all of a sudden, she doesn't believe in that anymore. Don't spank that baby. You're going to repress their little personality. Have you met my kids? Now, some years down the road, as they got a little bit older, you know, and it was obvious that they were pretty awesome, you know, she thought they were the greatest thing since Jesus. And she says to me something about how wonderful my children are. And I just couldn't resist. I said, yeah, Mom, isn't it amazing with my bad parenting that they're so wonderful? She said, yes. Oh, but I'm just telling you, we need to support one another and be for one another, and we all need to understand what the principles of Scripture are in regard to raising children, and especially in this area of discipline. I don't think there's ever been a parent that didn't wonder sometimes if they'd done the right thing when it comes to discipline. And they question themselves. Maybe they were too strict, maybe not strict enough, but all of us go through those times. And I want to say again, our confidence comes from doing things God's way. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen, train up a child. Children have to be trained. One young man was visiting his brother and sister-in-law. They had a little boy who was 4 years old. And little Tommy was in the kitchen. He got the job of icing the cupcakes. And so the uncle is eating a cupcake and enjoying it. And he comments to Tommy, well, these are so good. And you iced them. They're so pretty. He said, how did you get the icing so smooth? Little Tommy said, I licked them. children have to be trained. Whether you're talking about things in everyday life or you're talking about the things of God, I can tell you it's never automatic. They have to be trained. Train up a child in the way he should go. And what a great promise comes with that command, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. The Scripture makes it clear, though, that it is commanded of us. It is our responsibility to train them. But you need to know that with that responsibility also comes authority. God never tells you to do something that he doesn't enable and empower you to do it. And if he tells you as a parent, train up your child, I can assure you that he's backing you up. You need to be the one in authority. You need to be the one that, as a parent, you take responsibility for training your child through loving, consistent discipline. We got to accept that charge given to us as parents. You know, children have to be taught, trained. They have to be taught the fear of the Lord. It's one of the things in this generation that seems to be so lacking, not only in our culture. I understand when Hollywood doesn't fear the Lord, but even in church a lot of times, there's just no fear of the Lord, no honor and respect and reverence for God. Now, obviously, if you were in our worship this morning, you know I'm not talking about sitting on your hands and being super quiet. That's not reverence. That's just sitting on your hands and being super quiet. I'm talking about giving him the honor, the respect that he deserves. It hasn't been that many years ago. Now, if you're a teenager, it may seem like an eternity ago, but for some of us, you know, you just go back about 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, and kids could actually sit in an adult service and sit quietly and behave without having to be entertained with mama's keys or anything else. How is that possible? Because they were trained. It's one of the things that I miss a little bit. I really believe in children's church because we want to minister to those kids on their level in a way that they really understand what's being said. But I'll tell you that We need to be training our children. There's something special about church and coming together in worship, and the presence of God is there in that corporate worship. But not even just at church. We need to be training our children about the fear of the Lord in the home, raising them up right. I remember one Sunday morning, my pastor at a church in Oklahoma was on the platform, and I look on the first row, and there's my daughter. Nobody else was on that pew, and so she was doing the Chinese splits and turned around backwards, facing everybody, smiling at everybody. we had a little talk after the service. I'm just telling you, children have to be trained. This one more. A few years back, actually this happened in Grace Church about 20 years ago or so, and there was a young man who had a little boy, and the little boy, well, the teenagers behind them in church started laughing, and so he looks to see why the teenagers are laughing, and his little boy has his finger up his nose to about the second joint, and he says, "Don't do that," and he pulls his hand down, you know, and just a few seconds later, here's the teenagers laughing again, and he's got his finger up his nose again, and he picks him up, he says, "That's it," he's taking him out to discipline him, and they hear the little boy say, "But Daddy, I was putting it back." I'm telling you, children have to be trained. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And what a fantastic promise that if we'll do it, then they're going to stick with it. God will bless them. But I want to encourage you this morning. You, as a parent, need to take authority in your child's life to teach them and to train them. If we don't do that, then it's going to be hard for them to ever understand the lordship of Jesus Christ and what it means to truly serve the Lord and obey Him. They got to be trained. It can be difficult, endless, tiresome, but it is unbelievably rewarding. The training of children is the parent's responsibility, and we are accountable for what we do with that great responsibility. It's not the states, it's not the communities, it's not the schools, it's not even the churches. No, it is the parent's responsibility to train their children. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, I think a lot of parents are just not really sure what to do, what not to do. I just want to tell you, God has called you. If you're a parent, guess what? You've been called to train your children, to raise them up. You are the parent and you are responsible. No matter what society says, you are responsible and you need to take authority over your children, take control of your children. You're in charge of your children. You need to let them know that you're the parent and you're in charge. I don't know if telling them, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out," is the right way to do that. But I also know this, that when 3-year-old Johnny is throwing a crying hissy fit in the supermarket and mama says, "Okay, well, if you'll be quiet, I'll buy you a candy bar," mommy is no longer in control. Little Johnny is now in control. He knows how to get goodies from mommy. And if something doesn't change, by the time he's a teenager, he'll be a master manipulator. And he's working his parents. You need to take authority and be in charge. Don't let your child manipulate you with blackmail. Come on. You need to take control of your child and use godly discipline to raise godly children. It's hard if you wait until they're teenagers. It's much easier if you've been doing it since they were little. But if you did wait and they're teenagers, I'm not telling you not to train them. I'm just going to tell you that if you didn't start early, a lot of the time that they will rebel against rules and authority. You may have to have a come to Jesus meeting with them where you tell them that you're going to do a better job as a parent, and you're just preparing them for it because things are going to be different. But children have to be trained. Let me tell you why. Because they're children. They are born foolish. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. They just come out that way. Foolish. It's bound in the heart of a child. And what will get rid of it? The rod of correction. Discipline. That's how you make a child wise. I remember when mine were toddlers, probably 1.5 and 3, one of those times when it just got too quiet. You know what I'm talking about? When it gets real quiet, you know something's wrong. And so I went to investigate to see what was going on. I found them in the bathroom. They were over at the commode, flushing the commode. And they said, "We're playing potty, Daddy." I didn't know what that meant. So I went over and looked in the commode, and the commode was filled with money and wash rags. You think your kids waste money. Literally flushing money down the toilet. I had a stack of ones and fives that we had taken up from at a youth fellowship, and they had found those and thrown them in the commode and some wash rags, and we're flushing it. Of course, I get to take the commode off the floor to try to get the money back out. But anyway, foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from them. I'm glad to say today they're both about as big a tightwads as I am. But listen, all children are foolish. They have to be taught. They have to be disciplined. Isn't it amazing how that people can do such stupid things? I mean, if you ever go on YouTube and you search stupid people, you will find an endless amount of videos of people doing stupid things where you're just like, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, so many dumb stunts where they get hurt and all, it's just endless. But not just dumb stunts, just people in life doing stupid things every day, and it brings harm and heartache and destruction in their life. Foolish. Listen, you need to discipline your child so that they learn to be wise. You need to discipline your child to teach them, to train them. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So know this, the goal of training ultimately is to protect your child from harm. The way you protect them from harm is you teach them wisdom. And you teach them wisdom as you discipline. It is always an opportunity for you to teach. You know, wisdom is making the right choices in life. So the goal of a parent is to teach your children to make right choices. And sometimes, you know, parents get this attitude, well, they just got to learn it all for themselves. Don't let them learn it all for themselves. I realize that sometimes kids can be bullheaded enough, especially as they get a little older. There's going to be some things they just have to learn the hard way. But I'll tell you, if you'll train your children, if you'll discipline them, you can help them avoid a lot of those hardships, teaching them wisdom. You know, the Lord will help you to know how to do this. He gives us His word to show us how, and He promises us wisdom when we need it. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him." You need to believe as a parent that when you don't know what to do, you're unsure, that you can pray and ask God for wisdom, and He has promised that He'll give it to you. So believe that you receive that wisdom. As hard as it may seem to raise godly children, I've got to tell you this morning, it's way easier than fixing broken adults. It's a big job. It's a lot of work. But it's so worth it. It'll cost you the best hours of the best years of your life. And you will never regret it. If you do it right, you'll never regret it. A lot of endeavors in life that we spend time and energy and effort, and we look back and we realize that it wasn't really worth it. But no parent ever looked back on raising their child and said, well, I wish I didn't waste my time with that. No, you'll never regret taking the time and the effort and spending the energy that it takes to raise your child right. Remember, you're raising or you're disciplining your child to protect them from destruction. Proverbs 23, 13, and 14. I want to read this one from the NIV. It just, well, in the New King James, it says beat him. So we're gonna avoid that word, because in our culture that means something different, doesn't it? So I want you to understand, he's not talking about beating your child, but he's talking about discipline. He's talking about punishment. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Now, this is a principle from Scripture. I realize that all these Scriptures talking about the rod and talking about correction like that is totally rejected by our society. They're building on sand. He says, if you punish him with the rod, if you correct him, if there's that loving, consistent discipline, he's going to live. If you don't, he's headed for trouble. It is as simple as that. I like what Zig Ziglar said about it. He says, a child who has not been disciplined with love by his little world will be disciplined without love by the great big world. You either discipline them or they're gonna find themselves in a very difficult place. So how do we discipline a child? First, always remember that training is the goal. You don't ever reach the goal if you don't know what the goal is. Well, to train them, to teach them wisdom, that's the goal. We gotta always remember that. We're teaching them to make wise choices and to obey God. The goal of discipline is never for revenge. Now, you might think it's strange for me to say that. We're talking to parents. But I've seen a lot of parents that got so mad, they were disciplining their child because the child caused problems for them. They wanted to make them pay. That's not why you discipline a child. No, the goal is always to teach. It is always to train. It is always to impart wisdom to that child. Every time you discipline, it should be an opportunity to teach. Now listen, when they're two, you're not going to reason with them a whole lot. You're not going to teach them much verbally, but you can teach them that no means no. You can teach them that when mom or dad says something, they better obey or there's going to be consequences. Now, as they get older, you need to discipline, but you also need to be very careful to help them understand, not only just to correct the behavior, but to help them understand why, so that they learn wisdom. Anybody getting anything out of this? I hope that all of us will just realize what we're hearing and seeing in this world is so far from the truth. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. And there it is, what we've been saying, that it's by discipline that children learn wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And again, I want to say this. Discipline is correction. It is to help them learn wisdom. But also see the second part of that verse, a child left to himself. There's a whole lot of children in our culture being left to themselves. And I don't just mean that they're left at home by themselves. No, I'm talking about that they're parked in front of the TV for 4 hours while mom is busy doing other things. Don't leave your child to themselves or to the TV to raise them. No, you need to be very involved. In fact, I can say this, that one of the real keys between successful parenting and failure as a parent is how involved you are in your child's life. Have you noticed that in all the sitcoms, TV shows in our world today, it's always like, the children and parents are separate, don't have much to do with each other. It's not the parents' business to be involved in their kids' life. I'm telling you, it absolutely is. A child left to himself will bring disgrace to his mother. You need to be involved in what's going on with your kid. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. And here's the point. It takes great effort. It's a lot of work, but it will bring you great rewards, a tremendous joy. He will give delight to your soul. Second, love is always our motivation. This is why you discipline, because you love them. Young people, you need to know this. This is why your parents discipline you, because they love you. This always has to be the motivation. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. It says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. The Lord disciplines his children because he loves them. What a great example. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Now notice, he says our earthly fathers corrected us. You see, that's the point of discipline, is to bring correction. When a child is going the wrong direction, you've got to bring correction or else it will end in destruction. You've got to correct your child. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of our spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Listen, he disciplines us for our good. And so it is with our children, that we discipline them for their good. Listen, discipline is not something that you do to your child. Discipline is something that you do for your child. See, there's this attitude in our culture. So many parents are like, well, I don't want to discipline them. I love them. I don't want to discipline them. It's something you're doing for your child because you love them. Verse 11, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. No, it doesn't, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And there it is again. This is part of how you train children. There's one more thing that I think we need to see here. You know, he uses earthly fathers as an example here of discipline. And I realize that a lot of people have a difficult time seeing God as a loving heavenly father because their earthly father was not a loving father. But I think there's also a lot of people today in our society that despise the chastening of the Lord. Remember, we started that passage. He says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. They despise the chastening of the Lord because they themselves were never disciplined properly as a child. They grew up with resentment, with a bad attitude towards authority, and they resent God, and they have a bad attitude towards God. I'm telling you, if you love your child, then you need to be very, very diligent, consistent to discipline your child. Listen to this from Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, I know some of you never raise your hand, but I just want to check. I just got to see how many of you actually believe that promise that verse of Scripture from the Bible. Some of you aren't sure. Okay. I'm just telling you, this is what the Bible says. And no matter how wrong it may seem in our culture, I'm telling you, God's word is truth. And the person who will not discipline their child hates their child. Oh no, I don't want to discipline them because I love them. Listen, love is not a mushy feeling. It is something that you do. And if you love your child, you will discipline them. Let me read it one more time. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Real key word there, promptly. Because consistent discipline is the key. By the way, that verse in the New Living Translation is, if you refuse to discipline your children, it proves you don't love them. If you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them. I know some people don't want to discipline because they think that they're being merciful and they're being kind, and so they don't want to discipline. But I'm telling you that if your kids need correction and you don't discipline them, you are doing them harm, not good. You mold and you shape their life for blessing by bringing correction and discipline. The key to discipline, listen, is doing it consistently. The motivation is always love, but the key to it is that you do it consistently. Some parents just let it slide. They let it slide until finally they decide they're going to let them have it. And I want you to hear this now. I understand that attitude that you don't want to spank your child. I understand that. I mean, what parent wants to spank their child? Listen, if you like to spank, if you want to spank your child, something's wrong. But there are actually parents who want to spank their child. Let me tell you who they are. Angry parents. And a big part of the way that you avoid anger is that you spank your child because the Bible says to, according to the Word of God. By the way, I'm not just talking about spanking as far as corporal punishment. I'm talking about discipline, however you're doing that. But you discipline that child because the Bible says to. You do it every time. Did you know if you do it every time that you won't get angry? You'll be surprised how you don't want to do it. But you do it because the Bible says to, and you love your child, so you're going to be consistent. Now, usually when parents get angry is when they play that game and they keep saying, okay, I'm warning you, I'm warning you. I'm going to count to 10. Listen, what did we read in that proverb a few minutes ago? Prompt discipline. That's the key. It's being consistent. To raise a godly child, you have to discipline consistently. And it's best if you start early when they're little. Dr. James Dobson says that it's best to start by about 14 months of age. I know some people think, oh, that's terrible. Listen, he says that by the time they're 4 years old, that much of their attitudes and their personality has already been formed. And you can still change them, but it's much more difficult the longer that you wait. Some of you, if your child is a teenager and you haven't been doing it right, as I said, you may need to let them know that you're making some changes. And when they disobey, there's going to be some consequences. But Dr. Dobson gives this example. At a football game, when one team jumps off sides and they throw a penalty out, the referee does not get all red in the face and start yelling about the rules and the virtues of keeping the rules. They don't do that. He just very calmly gets the ball, walks off 5 yards, and puts it down. And I'm telling you that as a parent, you don't need to get mad, red in the face. You just need to mete out the discipline in a very calm way. And it needs to be every time, hopefully more consistently than what the referees do. I'm glad there's not any instant replay, aren't you? I'm just telling you, This is a real key. If you'll be consistent, it makes such a difference. The parents who think they're being gracious and kind because, well, I'm gonna show them mercy this time and mercy this. Listen, that's not mercy. It's just negligence. But I'm going to show them mercy, and I'm going to let it go this time. I'm going to let it go this time. I'm going to tell you the truth. They end up disciplining their children many, many, many times more than the parent who's consistent. Because if you discipline your child every single time they disobey, I'm telling you, it won't be long until they're not disobeying very much. Now, don't raise your hand on this, but just answer to yourself, how many of you, sometimes you speed in your car? I mean, you might get stopped and you might get a ticket, but you speed sometimes. I mean, sometimes on purpose. Maybe it's just an accident with you. It's just, you know, you just weren't watching and you got up there. But let's just say that with all the technology of the day, you know, using GPS and all of that, that would be against our rights, wouldn't it? But what if they were able to catch you every single time? What if you knew that if you went over the speed limit 100% of the time, you were going to get a ticket? I mean, if you knew if my car goes above that speed limit by accident or on purpose, I will get a ticket. You wouldn't speed very often, would you? No, you would hardly ever speed. And I'm just telling you that when a child knows 100% of the time, if I disobey mom or dad, I'm going to be disciplined. If there is an appropriate discipline that's waiting for them when they disobey, I can assure you they're going to end up avoiding that as best they can. And the end result is, if you're consistent, the end result is you will hardly ever have to discipline your child. If you are inconsistent, they are always counting on this being the time they're going to get away with it because they have before. If they know 100%, I'm going to be punished for this. I'm going to be disciplined for this. They won't do it. Consistent discipline works. I know that you can't always cover everything with your kid. There's always going to be, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and they're always going to come up with some new stupid thing to do, right? I mean, and sometimes you have to discipline them for those things. One time we were staying at my grandmother's, and Jonathan and Leslie were about 10 and 12, and my grandmother wanted to show me and Carmen some new houses in the area, and so we left for about 30 minutes, left them at my grandmother's house. We come back home about 30 minutes later. All the windows and the doors of the house are open because even though it's about 80 degrees outside, Leslie decided she wanted to have a fire. So she built a fire in the fireplace, and the flue was closed, and so all the smoke just went out in the house. And so even though I had not specified to her when I left, do not build a fire, she still was disciplined. But here's the point I really want to make. When you can, give your children clear instruction, whatever it is, give them clear instruction, and then also tell them what the consequences will be if they don't obey. You say, I want you to clean your room when you get home from school today. If your room is not cleaned by supper time, you will lose your phone for a week. Now, if they actually believe you, I'm telling you, that room's going to be clean. You got to be consistent. When I got older, my mother was not very consistent. I don't remember what I did, but several times she grounded me. She took my car keys from me. The next morning, it was time for me to go to school. She didn't want to take me, so she handed me the car keys back. I'm just telling you, you got to be consistent if it's going to work. But if your child knows 100% of the time when they disobey you, that I'm not looking at the teenagers right now because I know they're hating on me. But I'm telling you, if you will be consistent, it will pay off to where you hardly ever have to discipline your child. In this country, every child ought to have the right to be safe, to not be abused, to have their basic needs met like food and clothing. But I got to tell you, parents, they do not have a right to the TV, to video games, to a cell phone. Those are privileges for people who do what they're supposed to do. Now they're really hating on me. Let's keep moving. But I'm telling you, clear instructions with consequences, consistent consequences, it works. Don't make me come over there. Don't make me come over there. Don't you make me get up and come over there. Would you get up and get over there already? Listen. A lot of the time, the truth is the reason that parents don't follow through with discipline is just because it takes effort. You just got to do it. But I'm telling you, if you'll do it by the word of God, if you'll be faithful, if you'll do it promptly, listen, in the end, you're going to end up doing it less and less. Now, I want to close with this passage of scripture from Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The first commandment with a promise, and what a great promise that it will be well with you. Now, first of all, to young people, I just say, wow, if you'll just honor your parents, things will go right for you. But in this culture, that's a really rare thing anymore. Because what we see all around us is young people who make fun of their parents and ridicule their parents and fault find their parents and have no respect for their parents. What a great promise. If you'll obey and honor your parents, things will go right for you. But I also want to say this to the parents. One of the greatest things that you could ever teach or train your children is to respect you and honor you. Teach your children what it is to honor you, what it is to show you respect. Now, I want to make this very clear. Don't be angry about it, but teach them to show you respect. If you don't teach them to honor you, this promise that's so awesome, so powerful, will not apply to them. And the one thing we said from the beginning of this message, that every believer wants their children to grow up and enjoy the blessings of God. And right here, the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, it'll go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Teach your children to honor you and respect you. And by the way, use it like this. It works really well. I will not tolerate you disrespecting your mom. Mom, you say, I will not allow you to disrespect your dad. You will honor him. Y'all support one another that way, but teach your children to honor you as parents. It brings such a great blessing on them. Now, he goes on and he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord. There's a couple of things I want to say about this verse. First of all, notice that he specifically says fathers. Now, that doesn't mean that mothers don't have to do this as well. In fact, we all know there's a lot of single moms today that have to do it all. But what I really want to say here is that fathers in our culture today, a lot of dads think that that's the mother's job. So wrong. He specifically says here that fathers are to train their children. And I'm just telling you, you need to step up and be the dad and help train those kids. He also says, do not provoke your children to wrath. There's a lot of kids that get angry when they're disciplined. And I think the number one reason is because they have been disciplined with anger. And right along with that, I think it all goes hand in hand because they haven't been disciplined consistently. When you're consistent, then that child doesn't get angry. When they get away with it 9 times and then you lower the boom and you let them have it and you're angry finally, all you're doing is producing wrath, producing bitterness in your own child. No, you got to be consistent. That's the key. Never be angry when you're disciplining. By the way, I just want to say this. I don't know if I said this or not, but I want to make sure I get this out. Listen, if you're angry, don't discipline your child. You pray first. I think I did, but that needs to be said twice. You make sure that when you discipline your child, you're not doing it out of anger. Another reason that a way that you can provoke your child to wrath is just by being unfair. And I think that any parent that's ever disciplined a kid, they're going to tell you they're unfair. But when anger has built up as a parent, then you can mete out a discipline that's just over the top. If they caused you trouble and harm or whatever, sometimes you can be unfair in your discipline. Well, here's a fun story to illustrate the point. One farmer called his six boys together. He said, "All right, I want to know which one of you boys pushed the outhouse into the creek." Nobody said anything. So he told him, he said, "George Washington, his dad, asked him, 'Did you cut down the cherry tree?' And George Washington told the truth. He said he wouldn't tell a lie, and he told him the truth that he cut down the cherry tree. And George Washington's dad was proud of him for being honest. And so one of the little boys spoke up and he said, 'I did it, Daddy.' Well, the dad just gave him a real good whipping. And he said, 'But Daddy, George Washington's dad was proud of him.' He said, 'George Washington's dad wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down.'" Don't ever discipline your child when you're mad. You'll just embitter them. Always make sure that the discipline that you give is age appropriate and that it will give wisdom. Just, by the way, we grounded our kids a lot from TV. I just always figured that not only was it effective, but also it was getting rid of one of the bad influences too. So we used that a lot. We grounded them from the phone. Sometimes we grounded them from going and doing stuff with friends. And you know what? I got to tell you, though, over the years, we just really didn't have to do it very often. Because if you're consistent, and I want you to understand today, I am no perfect parent. I made a lot of mistakes. I think I said that last week. But I just want you to know that if you'll do your best to be consistent, to be prompt and given discipline, that you'll end up doing it a lot less. Your most important responsibility as a Christian parent is to teach and to train your children about the things of God. Fathers, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So fathers, I want every one of you to take note of that. This charge is given specifically to you, that you as a father, you need to train your children in the instruction of the Lord. I want you to stand with me as we pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our children, for our young people. What a tremendous gift that you have blessed us with. And Father, help us to be good stewards, Lord. Lord, to raise them up as you would have us to, that they would truly be blessed. And Father, I just pray this morning for those parents that are struggling. I pray, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom today. I pray, Lord, that they would just be encouraged today. And Father, that you'll just give them the strength that they need. I ask you, Father, that you just do a work in our lives and in our families. And Father, that you be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to dismiss in just a moment, but I want to encourage you to come for prayer this morning. I know there are some of you that are really struggling in raising your children. Prayer makes the difference because God makes the difference. And I want you to take advantage of this opportunity. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you are saying, "Oh, I've made so many mistakes as a parent." Well, listen, the best thing to do is to ask God to forgive you and to help you. There's some of you here this morning that you came to this service and you don't really have a close relationship with Jesus. I want to tell you that he loves you and he wants that with you. And if you'll come, let somebody pray with you. You can know what it is to walk with Jesus every day. And I just encourage you, whatever prayer need that you may have come to this service with, this is an opportunity for you to have a believer, somebody that really believes, to pray with you. So as I dismiss you with this blessing this morning, I encourage you to come for prayer. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Amen. Lord bless you.